Welcome, dear listeners. Little creatures caught our attention within our tales from the empty rooms of Gorski Manor. Little spirits awakened from a long slumber, a slumber not of their doing. Little ancient creatures, small in stature, yet grand in magic. Sadly, this magic had been turned against them. Their tale began so long ago. A lonely ancient dragon, full of wisdom, yet riddled with guilt. His endless digging of his beloved realm of caves and tunnels, far away on a lonely rock island in the middle of the great endless sea. Yet, after eons alone in his work, the sadness of age overwhelmed him, all his knowledge and knowing not shared, unable to ease his lonely heart. From bits of roots and yarns and beads and stones he unearthed and collected during his diggings, he created with his magics companions. Such new renewed joy he found with these little fellows. For this wise dragon finally shared his ancient magics and knowledge with them, and his most cherished pastimes, sneaking, creeping, and hiding within their world of mysterious things. Sadly, all things must end. That is the way it has always gone. That is the way it is always to be. No amount of magic can stop the march of time forever, only for what seems like too brief of moments. One sad morning, the poppets, for that is what he called them, found themselves alone. Their dear old dragon lived no more. The poppets, lost within their grief and sadness, roamed their beloved endless tunnels and caves in despair, shedding endless tears of grief, endless nights of alchemy and magic to try and bring their dragon back, for life was empty without him. Lost in their inner turmoil, they did not see the great storm that found them, flooding their cozy caves and tunnels. They took shelter in the dragon's great cauldrons of iron and alchemy. Eventually, all washed and swept out of their safe world, out into the great endless churning sea of this great storm. On and on the storm raged, never a slowing, never a pause in its great power of destruction. Our poppets, lost upon the waves they were, tossed and drenched, rain and snow and hail pounding them without sympathy, as they clung within the cauldrons, huddled together, exhausted within and without. Then one morn, if it could be called that, caught them all in a whirlpool of gray sea foam, caught them all within its spiral, pulling them down and down and down to the very bottom of the sea. In this darkness, none could see, all resigned to their fate, closing their eyes to the end they felt was to come. But the fate they perceived changed direction. One strong sea current pulled all the poppets into the cellar wells of an old mysterious manor that stood at the edge of the sea, Gorski Manor. The poppets took refuge in the endless cellars, tunnels that felt familiar and welcoming to their broken and crushed hearts. Yet the family within, not understanding their teasing, tricking, sneaky ways, did not welcome their antics. A slumber spell was cast upon them, causing each and every poppet to fall into a dreamless sleep, a deep, endless slumber, each hidden behind the walls, behind locked doors, behind the forgotten hiding places of the manor, where they lay with the dust and cobwebs for years. Nonetheless, one faded All Hallows' Eve ball, a misdirected spell awakened some of these poppets, not by intent, but by mistake. Once awoken, their memories returned. They felt a great concern, anger, and worry, as they had not been welcomed well within the manor on their first meeting. Will they once again be met with no kindness? Still, considerable time had passed. The manor greatly changed over the many years. The Gorski and Broom families faded and withered with the passage of time. New inhabitants now dwelt within these walls and halls, softer, gentler, sympathetic, those that now walk the halls and many rooms of a different sort, they themselves lost and lonely, seeking companionship. A caring place the manor was now, where those that are lost are now welcomed. The manor itself now welcomed the poppets, a new home for them at last. Still, a few yearn for adventure after their long slumber. Still, a few yearned with deep sadness to see their dragon once again.
Find him within the nursery tales,
whispered the manor. One evening, high up in the manor nursery, upon a long black table, heavy with many unlit candles, lay a book. Midnight blue in color, words written in fanciful print of blood red. Six poppets sat entranced in a circle around it, one lighting the largest candle beside the book. They chanted their magics, sending ancient energies brightly over its cover. I sat at the table too, interested in what they were about to do.
Merry Mistress,
my dear poppet friend Tuck whispered as he came over and snuggled on my left arm, a place he loves to be.
Merry Mistress,
he whispered in my ear. Such a charming little fellow he be. I was so shocked when I heard the tale of what the Gorski family had done to them centuries ago. How they had not understood nor come to care for them. Tuck himself was only slightly shorter than 2 feet in height. Body, arms, and legs made from twisted roots, yet soft to the touch. His head a slight turnip shape, with little eyes of golden beads and fuzzy hair of curls and braids of spun cobwebs and yarns of deep blue. He had no nose, but sported two little pointed floppy ears, with many little magical amulets hanging from them. A few little whiskers adorned his sweet pointed chinny-chin-chin, like the fibers of a turnip, twisting this way and that. And his long, thin mouth curled at the ends with curiosity that showed two shiny little fangs when he smiled, which made those fangs look so very adorable, if you can imagine fangs as adorable. Bits of this and that and colorful patterned materials twisted around his body, and on each foot there, tied, was a bell. These bells had been placed on each poppet by the manor to warn any who hear of their approach. Not really very nice, but they now felt a friendship to these talismans, a symbol of their new freedom, and greatly enjoyed the gentle tinkle made as they walked. "That is my book," I explained to the poppets, "from my mother, child she be, now from she it came to me." A curious magic of the poppets is that when they speak, and those that speak to them, words come out in rhyme, at least at first. No matter what you are thinking, what you thought you said, the words come from your lips rhyming. A lovely magic indeed. Once they feel comfort with you, this rhyming does fade, but not always. Before we go any further with our tale, we must speak of magics. Not magic with a C, but magic with a CK. Powerful. Much difference between these two words. A most important magic is word magic, which can help you to understand everything deeply and truly. To be quite clear, magic with a C are simply tricks, sleight of hand, fun, and entertaining. But magic, oh, magic with its mysterious CK, is so very much more. It is everywhere, within all the worlds and realms, in hidden corners, in ancient books, but mostly right before your eyes. You must be very quick, with eyes that search out curiosity. Everything has magic. Everyone has magic. Sadly, everyone cannot see it at first. Word magic holds an ancient, remarkable relationship with the runes. Dear dragon of the poppets, first born and roamed the many realms upon the world tree of the Norse, Yggdrasil. All magics are what poppets absolutely love above all else, what old dragons shared and taught them, what they seek, what they love to play with and work with. As you will soon see within these tellings of their poppet tales, you too are invited to come and find the magic with us. Welcome. All the poppets look closer at the book, their interest extremely piqued. Each poppet carefully touched the book, expecting something, anticipating something special to happen. They knew magic lay within this book, for nursery rhymes are each in themselves a spell that has companionship with a magic. That is why they are for children, as all children know and see magic. The poppets looked at each other, and I could see a decision had been made. Tick, their leader, said,
"This is the way. Now is the time. Come hold my hand. We all know the rhyme."
They all took each other's hands in a circle and reached out for Tuck to join them, a decision quickly made and acted upon. As I watched, I realized they were going into the book, a most wonderful book I knew, my mother's book of long-established Mother Goose nursery rhymes, a place I have enjoyed deeply, spending lots of time within it, looking, living through the pictures of old, chanting the rhymes out loud, a strong magic, finding the spirits that dwelt within each tale. But to actually go there, truly walk the paths, meet old companions, hear more about the tales that have not been told, ask my many questions, that is deep magic. That is an adventure, a happening. "I want to come too. Oh, what can I do?" I blurted out as I looked to my dear companions of the manor, Feathers and Simon. Shock flushed across their faces and mine at my words, the visible hurt in their eyes. I did not really want to leave them. "Oh, this be the manor of magic. I know it be true. I ask with deep graces to be in two places. There must be a way. Pray tell, what can we do?" All looked to me with confusion. "I want to do both. I give you my oath." I said that with conviction. "Why not? This could be. I've been to the moon. I've walked the world tree." Tuck jumped with joy upon my arm.
"Yes, yes, yes, yes. Merry Mistress is coming too. Together, much fun for six poppets and you."
He finished giving me the biggest smile and snuggle. I looked to the poppets. "Have you not the magics? Have you not the skill? You must know a way. Please don't leave without me. Yet here, I must stay." And then I knew. I heard a whisper from the knowing. "Do not fear. Follow the path of two, if you so desire." "Flick and Zick, I have seen you do. Make two man-childs one. You must make me two. A flip-flop must be done." It sounded so simple, it felt so perfectly divine. Flick and Zick looked to each other. I could see them thinking, figuring it out. They looked to Tick for his agreement. Tick nodded. Tuck cheered.
"Yay!
This we can
Yay!
Do, Merry oh, Mistress, Yay! For you.
Please open the book. Within it we must look,"
Tick said with authority. And I did. I opened the book. Then Tuck and I joined the circle with the poppets and began to hum. I joined in this traveling spell, for that is what it be. With one spell word and a gust of wind, the candle went out and we disappeared into the pages in no more than a blink of an eye. The book closed with a snap, yet I remained here at the table. All the poppets were gone. I could still feel Tuck upon my arm, and touching the spot, I could see them and me within the book. feathers. Simon, I sang with happiness to my friends. It has worked. I can see them. I am with them, like a movie. Oh, this is absolutely sublime. I felt so much glee and happiness and gladness. A wave of giggles burst from my lips. Oh my gosh, two places at once. One could only imagine this happening. I spoke with deep gratitude and humble appreciation for magic. And there we stood, the poppets and I, standing at the crossroads of an old cobblestone road. Iron lamplights lit along the curling road that led up to a group of quaint village shops at the very top of the hill. A pale green crescent moon hung above in the sky. We are in a different land, I thought with excitement. An old wooden sign, carved and worn, read Drury Lane. I grew up on a crooked street named Drury Lane, but this was not that place. This be the place where the roly-poly Muffin Man dwells.
Do you know the Muffin Man? The Muffin Man, the Muffin Man. Do you know Muffin Man lives under Elano? Oh, yes, I know the Muffin Man, the Muffin Man, the Muffin Man. Yes, I know the Muffin Man. Sticks and stones can break your bones if you know not the way to go. They that know Muffin Man will live no Drury Lane.
We heard someone whistling as we started slowly walking up the hill, feeling the energy strange, us all on guard. As we came to an apothecary shop, its dark doorway hidden from the street lamps, we stopped short, for a muffin tied upon a string was tossed in our path. Confused, we watched as it was slowly pulled back, inch by inch, into the darkness. It was mesmerizing, actually keeping our interest, us following it from a distance, even though it was an unpleasant sight, as the cobblestones were dirty with mud and muck. A figure emerged and made us all jump, stepping out from the shadows within the doorway, holding a basket full of muffins.
Muffin?
He offered, for it was he where that eerie whistling sound had come from. He certainly did not look like the clean, white Muffin Man of my memories. He was dressed in mud-covered green, his smock so obviously not cleaned for a very long time. His muffin hat lay flat and droopy over his ears. A few strands of dark, stringy hair poked out from under his hat, and his full, round face was ruddy and pockmarked, smudged with streaks of dirt. Full lips contained muffin crumbs, evidence he was partaking of his wounds. Confirmed, as I could see many nibble marks on the edges of every muffin.
Ye childrens, all so younger, must boast a great big hunger,
he said with a most unappealing smile. seemingly trying to be friendly, as he bent down to hover over the poppets, taking a sniff of them as they were clean and fresh. Children, I thought. Can he not see? They certainly are not that. He also paid no attention to me. There was a puddle in the road gutter, and I moved to look within. I could see the reflection of the poppets in the murky water. They appeared in this land as six young children. I moved to look to myself, and I could not see me clearly. I could see an indistinct shifting shadow move across the water as I waved my hand over it. Interesting. I have heard this told. In different realms, one does not always appear as your true self, but as something more native to help you blend into this new world and not be of notice. But me a shadow? Something to be thought about for sure. The poppets whispered amongst themselves for a moment. The Muffin Man licked his lips in a most unappealing fashion, eagerness in his eyes, eyes that looked to the poppets, or should I say children, as a predator does to his easy prey. Tuck moved forwards towards the Muffin Man.
Dear sir, we thank you for your offer of nourishment. Alas, our bellies are quite full of contentment. What we bid you, what we ask, does thou knowest simply? Have you seen a dragon pass?
The Muffin Man was taken aback by the manner in which he spoke. I could see his hopes of an easy catch were shattered. Wariness, easily to be seen, passed across his dirty face. Tuck looked to me and smiled. This Muffin Man did not understand with whom he now dealt with.
A dragon? Young lad!
He laughed nastily.
What doings does thee have with the dragon? Ye must truly think me daft as my empty flagon.
But see,
Tick spoke undaunted.
Look upon your muffins, kind sir. We beg your grace, for do you not see the image of the dragon there upon it, right before your face?
The conversation getting serious, rhyming strong and full. The Muffin Man looked intently to his wares, almost dropping his basket, as there upon each muffin, drawn in sweet white icing, was the image of a dragon.
What is this witchcraft?
He hissed.
What is this enchantment?
But his demeanor changed dramatically. He looked this way and that to see if any saw this goings on. All was empty down the lane. No spying eyes to be seen that I could detect.
Welcome, young sirs,
he whispered low with respect.
Your coming has been foretold. Follow me quickly, as the night grows old.
He moved to a long alleyway between the shops. I was hesitant to follow him, but the poppets ran after him without hesitation, me having no time to consider anything other than follow warily behind. The alleyway twisted and turned like a maze, quickly making me lose any sense of the direction we headed. a staircase of worn stony steps wrapped around a round brick building that we ascended with ease to a thin wooden door at its top. The Muffin Man unlocked the door and ushered us all into its darkness, closing the door quickly to the sound of locks being clicked tightly. We waited together in a huddle as he rustled here and there within the room, eventually lighting a few candles to spotlight what this place may be. He stood there before us by a large oak table filled with cooking bowls and spoons, this being his home and bakery. To our surprise, he was transformed, his face clean of dirt, his filthy smock gone and replaced by a clean green one, his deflated baker's hat now replaced with one of white, clean and fluffy upon his head.
I apologize for the deception. One cannot be too safe these days. Out on Drury Lane, a most dangerous place. Shall we begin again?
He stated with a large, friendly smile.
I am the Muffin Man, your fixer in this realm,
he said with a grand bow.
Dragon, bid me to watch for thee, for a dear friend he be to me. Welcome, poppets.
The poppets did not flinch or bat an eye at this change. I'm sure their magic barometers sharing the truth of this fellow.
Thank you, kind sir,
Tick said with a return bow.
We appreciate your thoughtful greeting. We take pleasure at this most important meeting.
Each poppet introduced themselves in turn, with a bow and a handshake. I waited for me to be acknowledged, but none made any move to make note of my presence. I stood in silence in the shadows, feeling it best for me to be what I be, a shadow. Yet, a little hurt and overlooked, watch and observe, I told myself. They all sat around his table, him offering fresh, clean muffins for each as they began their discussion. Oh, so much was said, so much was shared. They conversed late into the night, talking all the way to the dawn's golden rays of light danced across their eyes. I had watched and I had listened. So very enlightened and illuminated from what was spoken, so many things I did not know, had never heard, did not understand. All so amazing.
Your path is hidden before you,
the Muffin Man explained, holding up a muffin with the dragon upon it.
Word magic, hidden in clear sight.
He handed the muffin to Tick, who looked with deep concentration at the muffin. Muffin of the Muffin Man. Two M's. Two Mana's runes. The origin and home language of their dear dragon. On the table, some forgotten flower lay sprinkled. Tick drew the rune Mana's in it. They all looked within its lines, each poppet opening to the message left by dragon so long ago, for he knew they would come someday to search for him.
What do you each see?
Tick asked the poppets. Some had their eyes closed, others watching what might be shared. One drew the manas in the air, causing a pop of magical electricity. Others drew the rune within their palms, placing them together upon their heart.
Bravo!
The Muffin Man said with a knowing smile.
Our meeting was destined, or should I say planned. I am truly honored to be your guide, happy to help as I can.
Thank you again, kind sir,
Tick said with an open heart. The other poppets all nodding in agreement, all returning to their feelings for more of the message. Zik began the sharing.
I see the gauze, the wings of dragon.
All responded with a unanimous oh. Flick added,
yes, D for dragon. I still miss him every day,
he said with a sigh that flowed through the circle of poppets. Stick considered.
Are we to fly?
Wick lit a candle and watched the smoke tendrils gently twist upwards, then sharply turn north.
Candle magic say, go north.
I pulled out my tarot cards, wanting to help. Two cards popped out immediately, the Eight of Cups and the Nine of Cups. I showed the cards to the poppets, speaking the message. Me so surprised, my voice was so different, my shadow self a whisper on the wind.
Eight of Cups, evil dreams, let them flow to where you need to go. You no longer need them.
Oh, sadly, that felt like maybe they should not be looking to find their dragon of the past. And Nine of Cups?
Nine of Cups. Celebrate your fortune with a jolly, happy soul.
A very mixed message.
Your shadow suggests well,
the Muffin Man said, lifting his cup in a toast. We all joined in a hearty wunyo, Norse cheer of the rune of joy and good drinking fellows.
Wunyo! Wunyo!
Tuck, what do you see?
Tick asked our youngest poppet. Tuck smiled in appreciation for being remembered.
What I see in the sign is ring around the rosy, a pocket full of posy,
he sang in his sweet voice.
Except not in a circle. I see them dancing in the shape of dagas.
Tick and the rest of the poppets nodded their heads in interested consideration.
Small messages take a time to unravel into the big meaning.
Tick shared, all knowing this quote well from their beloved dragon.
Where might these dancers be?
Tick asked the Muffin Man for his guidance.
Why, they circled the one tree.
Blessings and hugs, dear listener.